with Chris
and Kyle,
a podcast about making music
and life. Goes up underneath the intro. It's very epic and inviting as a podcast.
Yeah.
So we are on location tonight.
Yeah, we're out of the studio. We are actually visiting our guest's home tonight.
Mr. Dan House.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
So, Dan, why don't you give us a brief introduction as to you and what you do within music in this community?
We do run an hour, so please don't leave anything out because it's a pretty big range.
Yeah, you do a lot of stuff.
I've done a few things. So I've been a singer-songwriter for a while, maybe 15 years or so. I've been performing out in and around Harford County and Baltimore from songwriter showcases. A lot of coffee houses and different kind of places. I've hosted an open mic night. I used to run at Bon Tempo's in Bel Air. Been running the I run basically the entire music program at Vagabond Sandwich Company, including the sandwich stock promotion that I built with Ben Meyer, the owner there. There's a series of songwriter showcases and open mic hybrid showcases.
We love them.
That feature local performers. They feature some of them bring in regional folks from like DC and some from up in PA.
Then when they're a hip hop guy one night from down in DC, the night I played without him, I think it was like the first.
Yeah, that's Joe.
Might have been Joe. Yeah.
If you ever hear someone scream, that's Joe Ruggiero, my bass player. Hi, Joe.
We're going to have Joe on this podcast eventually. He and I were talking about that as well.
He's in every band under the sun. He's in my band more than any of the other bands, though.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because he loves me more.
There are two people I see him always attached to. It's you and Will Sims. Like, whatever project you guys are doing, Joe's usually a piece
be,
of it.
He might be closer with Will.
Yeah.
Might be. Will's the only one that gets that.
Yeah.
But that's fair. They've been together a long time.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
It's sweet. Nice.
But
anyway, yeah, I mean, what about the full band things you've done?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was going to get into that. So in and out between the songwriter thing before my current group is called Think Again. We're kind of a hybrid. It's like an acoustic meets rock. It's kind of a full rock band that has like an acoustic core to it. You might compare us to something like Days of the New. And that's kind of the progression that's come from the solo project where I've songwritten over the years. Taking the more solid and more attached songs where I don't want to lose these songs from these bands that I've been in. And I've been in 9 or 10 bands around Baltimore over the years. Mm. Playing some of whom never even played a show. Like,
yeah,
my first band, we had like 25 songs. We had an hour and a half worth of covers. Just had no idea how to book a show. It's hilarious to hear that now, easy it is to get a show now with all the social media. But that was before the social media boom. But anyway, so I played in these bands and been around and done some shows. And, you know, I've kind of tried to, in some way, close a gap to become a creator of sorts. And that's part of the reason you see me doing things like the stuff at Vagabond.
Mm-hmm.
And approaching the idea of creating series and booking other bands and working like that is to basically maybe invent the best way for me while also helping out my friends and trying to forge a path. I don't know if that is helping anybody that I'm doing this with, but
it's helped us.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely benefited through what you're doing, and that's
no joke.
I mean, we did our CD release with you.
That's true.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
I was honored to open that. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a very conscious choice, and we talked about that early on, that would be the perfect setting.
Hey, my brother at least came to that show.
Yeah, he did.
Well, sorry. Really throwing your brother under the bus on the podcast.
Totally. Absolutely. I've been dealing with contractors all week, too.
Hmm.
Yeah, what you're talking about, though, really lends itself to your conversations we've had on the podcast before about how do you go about booking, how do you go about making these things not only worth playing the event for you from a productivity, you know, networking, kind of moving up that incremental slope of whatever you want to call the end goal for musicians.
Yeah. Also, but where do you try out new material?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was the biggest thing. the
well, it used to be with you.
What was nerve-wracking for me was the last showcase that I went to. It was the first, I think it was the first time you opened it up for as an open mic. I sang one of our songs without you.
Yeah.
And that was freaking horrifying for me. But I had a place that I could do that. And people around that I knew were there to appreciate what I was trying to do.
Yeah, I thought you did great. Really.
I appreciate that.
What we want to elaborate on, though, that was necessary for you to do as good at story time as you did, by the way. That's what got you the confidence to get down. But anyway, I mean, it does lend itself to saying, you know, finding the right path for you as a musician to get the shows that you want to be on.
Oh, yeah, and it's been an interesting path, too, because while I've been doing the songwriter thing, I've also kind of been in and out. It's been a little weird. It's at times I've been very full on the songwriter deal, and then a band would pop up, and I'll be working on that, and sometimes that becomes, you know, you, like, pivot onto that foot, and then that's really important to you for a while, or that thing really starts cooking, and it, you know, you have to put more focus into that, because as human beings, when you have so much time, naturally, so, you know, I've been in several bands that have done that, but all the while I had this think vocally thing that I was doing a long time as a songwriter along the path. I had a band called 90 Second Life Story, another band called Ashes to Embers.
I love that album. He gave me that CD.
Oh, he did?
It's in my truck. Yeah. I listen Ignite? To it at least once a day or once a week.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
And Ashes was together for a long time. There were a lot of like little startups, fizzle outs before those, the 90 Second and Ashes. And then most recently, it's probably, I can only say this, I can say kiddingly, but probably the last one of those kind of formatted bands I'll do is a band I had done until the end of last year. It was called Through the Wake, and that was a lot of fun. Buddies of mine, I was friends with in the scene, kind of were putting something together. I had just enough time to make it work. And they put out this sick demo, ended up turning into a song called Standing Still. One of my favorite songs we wrote in that group. And just kind of fizzled out at the end. There were a couple things going on, and just was a good time to part. So the band just kind of called it. And at that time, I had started to get a little more busy developing the Think Again lineup that we have now and the writing for that. And that's really just kind of taken on a momentum of its own, because I was doing it as my kind of core project, and my drummer Fred, who's played with me in Ashes to Embers and 90 Second and several other bands, he was pretty much on board. And then we had a bass player, was our guy from Ashes to Embers, guy Dave, we played with for a while, and he was in, but we were doing this as a real light commitment. And then, you know, we were doing some writing and kind of spacing it. And then, you know, we wanted to start doing it more. And Dave has a couple kids and, you know, he was showing up when he could. And, you know, he's just such a great player. It was a lot of fun to do this with him, too, because it's just me being acoustic and him doing the bass like he does. He's a very, just a very forward, very energetic kind of player. Allowed the songs to develop a little more, and he brought in one on guitar that he played, and we did like pretty much a co-write. He kind of gave me this progression, showed me what he was thinking as far as like the changes and the choruses and different things, and I took it and kind of molded it to how I would play a song, and that turned into the song Ever Moving Forward from the last EP. It's a fun song to play, a lot of energy. It's actually one of the songs people ask me to play more than some of the others, that and probably Missed Turns that I've been playing for like ever. But it's kind of neat to have that. And Dave was the best man at my wedding, so it's a nice little connection. I always can think of him when we're playing that. He didn't like, quote, quit the band or like move on. We started getting more busier and have more opportunities. And he was like, if you guys want to find somebody to sub in, you know, it's not going to be a big deal. And you know, we were talking to Joe and he was kind of into it. So then between that time and somewhere in there, Mike kind of came into the fold, and he was in Ashes to Embers with us too, and just super talented guy. And the group just naturally. I mean, the chemistry was just there because Mike, Fred, and I have been playing in bands forever. And then Joe was just a lock. I mean, dude is solid. Yeah. And then what's wild about
that kid
this?
Does impress me.
Yeah, the thing is you don't see Joe make mistakes.
No,
it doesn't happen. And I've seen him play it quite a bit.
I didn't know he was a guitarist.
The first time
he was a guitar player first.
I didn't know that.
He started playing bass. Well, I can't say he started playing bass for this, but Joe was good.
A bass player.
Well, not for Think Again. One of the first times I can trace back Joe playing bass, and I can't take credit for it, but when Ashes to Embers, we played. I forget where Dave was, but our bass player Dave, the same guy I was just talking about, Dave Bowen. He couldn't be at this Record Theater show, and it was like one of the last shows at Record Theater.
Yeah.
And I think it was us. The week after we did, because it was right at the end of the run for the record.
Yeah. It was us and Schizo Calypso and Cinder Road, I think.
Somebody just posted a picture of that not too long ago.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, I remember that.
It was definitely Brad and Joe in front of Record.
It was a really cool show. And Joe actually subbed in for Ashes to Embers and played bass with us at that show.
Nice.
Because him and Mike always were, you know, palling around at the shows because in Ashes we played a lot with Roll It Over, which is a band where Joe played guitar with Will Sims.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, we go that far back. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, absolutely. The first time I met you was Fishhead, I think. Because I saw you guys play there. I don't remember which band it was at that point. I want to say Ashes, but I can't remember. But then that was a like brief meet. When we actually started talking was when in Essex at the circuit.
Yep.
You and I got to know each other better. Yep. But it's been interesting seeing you, how you've established yourself as one of the pillars of the music community around here. You know,
I don't know about all that.
Whether or not you see yourself that way, to us and a lot of people that kind of circulate around these types of shows, there's not anybody else putting this together.
No, definitely not.
It's tough. One of the things that I try not to necessarily advertise it this way, but you can't do these things and expect them to be like, everybody wants these things to be an enterprise. Everybody wants to like what's in it for them. Like, let me tell you, what's in it for me is I have a place to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, I've had several folks like make offers at like coming after, like they want to book this show or they want to take this thing over and, you know, you do this, that, and the other. And how come I can't do that? And I say, well, you could. You have to find a place where it's viable.
Right.
Like I'm the guy that went up and down Main Street knocking on doors. Hey, can I speak to your manager? Hi, what do you think about having live music at your thing? And I'm standing there covered in tattoos with long hair, and I have to explain to these people why I'm worth their time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And often I'm walking in with a guitar and just say, hey, I'll play a song for you, and you can tell me if I'm not worth your time, I'll leave.
Yeah.
And Ben from Vagabond, I mean, in my life, I have seen very few things that are just so, like faded. You know, I'll say meeting my wife when I did, my son, these things are just wonderful miracles that happened to me that I could never be more thankful for. But one of the strangest coincidences of my life, literally, I decided it was at the end of Ashes to Embers. I was going to start delving into more Think Again. I was going to start I wanted to rebuild my showcase. Mm-hmm. I had been doing this at a couple different places and they'd closed. And it was just like, you know, well, that sucks.
Yeah. Right.
There's a friggin' Jimmy John's where I used to do my showcase at Roger's Coffee. And before that was Huckleberry's. Mm. Oh, my God. The acoustics in that room were incredible. And this other place, the Bottomless Cup, that was up in Havre Grace. That place was awesome, too. The owners there were like family. Debbie and Neil, they were just super cool people. Just awesome, awesome people. We actually, the precursor to Sandwich Stock was a show I did there called Coffee Stock.
Oh, nice.
And that was a blast. Wild to look back. But so I'm just kind of doing a canvas. I kind of try to think of what kind of business would allow me to do this? And, mm-hmm. you know, the bars, they're not into it.
No.
They prefer cover bands, and rightfully so.
Moneymakers.
That's the thing. Like I don't fault those people for that. There are some musicians around that say, I want more original music in the bars. And it's like, you're speaking from an area of less experience if you don't understand how hard it is to draw for original music.
Yeah. Absolutely. If just because you want to see it doesn't mean it has enough mass appeal to keep a business open.
And if we have our three-hour set that we open up our book and just replace the radio.
Yeah.
We'll try and sneak some originals.
Yeah, well, here or there.
Yeah, I mean, that's which is wonderful.
That's the thing. If you go to an open mic, you can play originals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there are open mics in this area, and there are open mics all over the place.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where that exists in the bar scene.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, I used to play Main Street Tower, and I used to mix in covers and originals, and they never had a problem with it. They were cool about it, and I was playing Fridays and Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They let Ashes to Embers play an all-out original show in their dining room and on the deck.
Nice.
But, again, advertise the hell out of that show.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're getting a guarantee from a bar, it's not the same as when you're selling tickets to play at a venue. The cash flow situation there, and that's not the main thing, but, you know, that's part of it. You know, it's kind of an interesting scenario.
Well,
the build.
If you want to make money as a musician, get a solid cover set.
Yeah.
we do it when we need to pay the podcasting fee, the credit card for the board that we're recording on right now.
It's pretty fancy. But I missed the actual point of the story. I'm sorry I went down that rabbit hole, guys.
It's okay. That's what we do here.
So I just kind of had remembered this big, huge, open shop on Thomas Street.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be Dillweed's.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I wonder if that place, and I knew a guy that used to actually own it. I used to work with him at a part-time job I had at Target. This mm-hmm. guy used to own the place. It was like, I wonder if it's still that, and if he still owns it. Maybe he'd let me, like, do something, like set up an event there at night.
Yeah.
Just do, like, a Dillweed after dark or something like that. And I had this, like, in the back of my mind. There was that and a couple other spots on Main Street I kind of wanted to see what was going on with. And I went there, and it's Vagabond. And it's Vagabond, like, but during the day. Like, it's only during the day. It's a courthouse luncheon place,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and that's what it is.
Delicious food, man.
Ben, if you're listening, I'm still pissed that you don't have breakfast anymore, bro. Serious beef with that. But anyway, there's a fresh poster in the window that says, open in evenings, starting March 1st. And I'm looking at this in the middle of February, or the end of February. I mean, it's like a week away.
Yeah.
And I send a message while I'm standing outside the window, and Ben is responding to me from inside the restaurant.
That's awesome.
Like 10 minutes later, as I'm driving around looking at other places. And the next day I went in there, and he said the only reason he would not have agreed to do it, this is the kind of guy Ben is. He said, I will absolutely do this, but there's one thing. He said, this building is old, and I need to make sure that it won't blow the breakers. So I want you to come in here, set up the biggest PA you're going to set up, turn it up as loud as you can turn it up, and we're going to see what happens. And I went in there and basically just played for half an hour with my PA, pretty much just blaring, mm-hmm. you know, in the middle of the afternoon one day. You know, there was no one there.
Yeah.
He was like, we got a deal.
That's awesome.
And,
That's awesome.
And one of the things about that is, you know, so if anyone's wondering how that happens, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that wonder what this deal is. The deal is that I have the freedom to set this show up and do what I want with it.
Yeah.
And it won't cost them anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of folks that think I'm making a bunch of money off of this. No. No. I do it that way for autonomy. And I do it that way so that I have creative freedom to do what I want within reason. I do keep him aware if something wild's gonna happen. You know, I'm not gonna show up with a satanic drum circle, as fun as that might be.
Interesting.
It hasn't happened yet.
Yet.
But you know, to create this partnership with this person, can hear what you do and trust based on reference you can provide them, and you know, I could show him, you know, hey, here's 100 flyers for the shows I've done and the showcases, and here's performers I've worked with, and here's around about, here's a dozen people that'll probably be regular here. Yep. Folks like Tim Kay, band Illy Amy, you guys. Yep. You know,
Scott Lester, seen him there a bunch.
Exactly. Oh, goodness. Scott Lester has been a blast to have up there.
Scott's a good guy. He's fun.
I just started talking to him not too long ago. He's good. He's him and Mike Newberry pretty close.
Well, Scott's...
I think they played in a band together at some point or something.
Yeah. Scott's one of those guys that I've known by proxy for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He and I still, to this day, never really hung out by
any means. Like a pro Facebooker.
Yeah, exactly.
He's very, very social media savvy.
Well, I think that but some of that comes with his job.
He's even better in person, though.
He is. I mean, like, every time I've met him, and like I said, we know each other peripherally. We always say hi kind of thing and whatnot, but he's just a funny guy.
Yeah.
And a very personable dude and approachable. Like, it's not somebody that you'd be kind of thrown off approaching for anything.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like I'm probably better on Facebook.
I've never known you to not be personable.
Always nice to people.
Well, so maybe I need not to all work people on deserve that. To be nice to. I mean,
yeah, that's the thing. I go that route and say that. And you can't do that as much as I would like. And I do it as much as I would like. So, yeah.
Nothing wrong with honesty.
But back to the vagabond thing.
Yeah.
So here's the next step in that, right? So I build this thing with Ben, and we have this kind of, all right, this is the arrangement. You're going to do these things, and you're going to let me know. We'll square away the dates a few weeks in advance, typically. And you can just do this thing. So I'm all about it. And he's all about music. He loves that. Ben is actually a drummer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you look, I'm trying to think what it says. There's all kinds of musician stickers on the side of the vent hood.
Yep.
On the side next to the grill. Those are about him being a drummer. A few of them are.
Nice.
Screw work, go on tour, or something like that.
That's awesome. Don't we all wish?
A drummer's life for me, something like that. I mean, it's just wild guy. And then, he goes the extra step and goes and has these cards made up. And I hope I don't regret saying this on the air, but he actually gives a discount to everyone that's a regular that performs in the showcase.
Yeah.
I use mine at least once a week.
And there's
there.
A lot of people that, I didn't ask him to do that. I don't know if it's really business savvy to do that, but I mean, he cares that much and he said, I'd rather have musicians hanging out here eating than other people. And if that makes them more involved in the show and they'll show up to the shows and it builds that.
I love it.
He says, it gives you something to offer for this. Because that's the one thing. If I did eventually get paid for it, there's no way I would, I would be getting, gas money.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Me, I would turn it over to Band Together. That's where it would go. Right. I would turn it into the charity.
Well, and actually, let's talk about Band Together, because there's a purpose behind the showcase as well from a charity perspective.
That's true. That's a big thing. My sister is a music teacher. Some of you know her as Jules, the singer-songwriter who plays around in Baltimore and Harford County.
She did Bon Tempo's open mic when I first moved up here and started getting back into doing open mic nights. She was up there every, what is it, Thursdays?
Well, she was running Sean Bolins.
Or Bolins, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of an interesting little foray when I was doing Bon Tempo's on Wednesdays and she was doing Bolins on Thursdays.
Yeah. Just the crowd would shift from one to
the
other.
Come hang out with the Houts kids in Bel Air. Get your open mic fix. If you don't get enough of Dan on Wednesday, come see Jules on Thursday. But,
that's great.
You had a family walk on the open mics. It's good.
Yeah. So, she's a music teacher, and she's been playing out forever. Big inspiration for me when I started playing music. And she had mentioned to me when I started doing the showcase that, I had mentioned I wanted to kind of look into a charity to build this around. This a little bit... some of these things I do will take after other things I see in other showcases and other open mics or different things. And my friend Joe Isaacs runs the Music Matters Showcase. And I always thought it was really cool. He raises money for the homeless with his showcase.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that's really awesome that he does that. Runs this thing out of Mad City Coffee in Columbia. I think, again, played there in August. It was pretty cool.
Hmm.
And just just a blast. Really good time. It's basically he gets a group on like an email chain, and he'll send out dates, and people hit back, and they're on it. That's it. And if you meet him and he sees you perform, or you send him a demo or whatever, he'll get in the lineup. I would recommend you guys to do that.
Yeah, we should. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's kind of neat because it gets to be like a cyclic kind of thing. There's different groups, and if you get on a different date with different groups, you get to meet new people and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there is actually a built-in crowd in the room, which is neat. We sold a few CDs when we were there. People just dug the set, and he does like round robin, so you'll go up and you'll play, and everybody plays once, and then everybody plays again.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So there's none of that I'm here to see one group and I leave. But so him supporting that cause, I was like, when I came back with the new version of the showcase that I called Start Something, I wanted to give to something. I felt like I wanted to build for something, and my sister had mentioned this charity to me, and it's basically, it's called Band Together of Harford County. So what they do, it's a group of current and retired music teachers, and they assemble, fix, and maintain an entire catalog of hundreds of instruments that they loan out to students throughout the year in our schools so that the students can be part of the band. Mm-hmm. Because not everybody can afford a trumpet or a trombone or a tuba. I mean, and think about like if you buy your kid a violin and they need someone to play, I don't know, they need someone to play French horn.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my sister who actually switched to French horn from being a first chair flute.
I was first All chair state. Trumpet and got switched to French horn, and then they switched me to treble, B flat, baritone.
Exactly. So
when like I'm a trumpet player.
Those kind of things too. That situation is very hard to play out. And how fair is that? And how easy is that for a parent to handle that?
Right.
And you don't want to tell your kid, no, you can't. And you don't want to tell the school, well, no, we don't care. No. If the kid wants to do it and they can create an opportunity and help enrich these child's lives, it's just a magical thing. And it's what educators should do. And these people run by Brian Fullis and Robert Powers. It's kind of full circle too, because Mr. Fullis was my fourth grade trombone teacher. Like he was literally my fourth grade music teacher when I started playing trombone. He doesn't strictly teach trombone the way I said that, but that'd be a hell of a thing if they had a different teacher for each instrument. But anyway, so they run this thing, and it's really incredible. They're just real gracious, real thankful for what we do for them. Musicland works with them as well. They do an event in the holidays every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Sandwich Stock this year is going to it, but will be going to it from this point forward. Ben is pretty passionate that this is a great cause, and he feels like he likes the idea of the music program that we're doing going to that. So much so, Ben, actually, the owner from Vagabond, donated a pretty much perfect conditioned trumpet to them.
Nice.
Like right when we started doing the showcase, he was like, yeah, I got a trumpet I can donate. He's like, it's my trumpet from when I was in school, but I don't really play it. So I don't see why not. And I think what you're doing is awesome. So I want to support it. Like, you know, he didn't have to do that. He's already giving us his space and his tolerance for some of the crazy things that show up. Overall, I mean, it's just a really great cause, and it's really, as a former student that was in band, and seeing how that can give your life direction, and how it can build and teach young folks music theory that can allow them to carry into playing music in other mediums.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a wonderful, it's a wonderful thing to have.
Yeah, I didn't own my first trumpet until I got into college. Even my audition for Shenandoah Music Conservatory was done on my high school loaner trumpet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could never afford a nice trumpet, and when you're playing first chair or second chair in like Maryland or Virginia youth orchestras, you can't just play a crappy freaking I mean, you can, but it'd be better if you played a nice instrument, something that was well-maintained and had the people that could help you keep it maintained.
Yeah.
So it was definitely always wonderful to be able to have that opportunity. So that's one of the things that I went to school for music composition, but music ed as well. And when I was out of college, I taught for a little while before I got back into the crappy industry that I'm in now. So anything, public school and art department and anything that has to do with music and arts and education, I'm all about. That's why I pitch the Start Something Showcase to everybody I meet. that brings up the point of this podcast is we're recording it on a Sunday. We'll release it on Monday.
Yep.
And hopefully everybody listens to it throughout the week because we have Sandwich Stock coming up next weekend.
Yeah.
I am so excited for it.
We're super excited. You want to run through the lineup? Tell people who's going to be there?
Yeah, so it's a big lineup.
We can edit out space if you need to. Look it up.
I mean, I left you looking up a mixing board of a studio that you worked in.
It's not the worst thing we've left in.
That's great.
I like to, whenever I list these things, I like to go at them in order, and I don't have the order memorized.
Yeah.
I don't. I work off of printouts and all that stuff.
Well, there's no way. I mean, you're a dad just like us. There's only so much brain space.
So, we have, how many acts are there? Eight or nine?
Nine?
There are nine acts.
Nine. Yeah.
So we have Girls Night Out, which is a jazz band. This is actually a bunch of people that are teachers in Harford County Public Schools. They heard we were supporting Band Together, and they wanted to be a part of this. My sister reached out to me, and her friend Liz, who's in the band, they were inquiring about playing on the show, and I was like, well, the last slots are kind of getting close, and I got to make sure I can fit you guys in, and... Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, well, we're teachers and we kind of wanted to support the Band Together thing. And I was just like, yeah, if I have to not play, we'll make that work. Then the thing is they have like a community, it's like an orchestra or a concert band event later in the evening. So they're going to open the show up.
Okay.
That's sweet.
And they're like, I don't 100% know how many pieces they're showing up with, but they're as many as 13 pieces on their website. So it's going to be wild. And then poor Shane Doherty has to follow that. But he's amazing, so he'll be all right.
Yeah.
I love seeing some of the folks like Shane and like Cecilia that do a lot of like... They do a lot of like the full, like the bar, like the paid kind of gigs. Right. And like taking this and doing this for charity.
The corporate scenes.
And doing this to like... It's just such a beautiful thing to see them take that step. And even Dana and Tim Kay.
Yeah.
And some of these folks have such great original material that they probably don't get the opportunity to play quite enough.
Right.
So, one of the things that was a call about this show, and I'll speckle in the names throughout while I'm just rambling. And after Shane, we have Cecilia Grace. If you haven't seen them, they're amazing. These two
very
sisters.
Active social media as well. Active social media.
They go live a lot. It's kind of inspiring.
Yeah.
Because they'll just go live. They'll play a song to Lord knows how many people.
Stay woke,
and
bro.
And just be comfortable and confident. And it's inspiring.
That is a major goal of mine for a long time. It's just that I would always be ready.
Yeah.
It's a little different when you have a kid. Like, there's no way someone could walk up to me at Walmart while I'm there with my kid and hand me a guitar and I could just play. I mean, I guess I could, but I mean, you know, when you have, you know,
somebody's going to look down on you for it.
When you're like
or you're going to have cleanup on aisle four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, daddy's up front playing music.
That's right. And Brian Dunaway is playing after Cecilia Grace. Brian's been playing Showcase forever. He actually took over the open mic from Bon Tempo's from me. I actually couldn't continue doing it because I had classes I was doing in night school and there was a conflict and it was just, it was unfortunate, but I wasn't able to do it any longer. So Brian took that over and he ran it for a while. Eventually it kind of fizzled, but I mean, Brian's been playing the Showcase. He's played in a bunch of punk bands too. Really interesting guy. He brings like a, he does very singer-songwriter, and he's grown a ton in the time I've been playing with him. just his musicality, his approach to songwriting is so different now. And he's got this neat, like, it's a little bit like rockabilly, but it's a little bit punk. It's a little bit folky. It's a little bit kind of all over the place, but it is its own kind of organism that's just...
It's one of those things, the times that I've seen him, I find myself standing there going, I have no idea how to define this. I like it. I just, it's baffling me exactly how to define this. Not that it has to be defined. It's so much fun.
I like that, but even when he has, like, when he does bigger dynamic contrasts in within songs, it's still got the same amount of energy. Yeah. Like, I strive for that. You know, I want to strum my guitar four times and still have the same energy as if I'm picking the living fuck out of it.
Yep. Yeah.
And he just always seems, he just exudes energy when he performs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a couple of friends that they have this energy about when he plays. And at some point I thought they're like being sarcastic maybe. And I don't know what to think of that. But then they're legitimately just so excited because his songs, they seem real simple on the surface sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but they get so stuck in your head. Like, I know that he stayed at room 454 at the Holiday Inn in the town of Gettysburg. I know that because it's in the song Spectre.
Yeah. I remember I know that.
And, you know,
He does create little windows into life kind of thing. Yeah. Each song seems like a little window. It's like a picture. And it's the way he presents it is very original. And it's captivating in a way that I just haven't seen in a solo acoustic performer like that in a long time. It's just different, and it's cool.
He's wild. And it's a blast to have him. After him, Brian actually has a song dedicated to the next performer after him. It's kind of the reason I brought them together. Mr. Tim Kay is after mm-hmm. Brian Dunaway. Tim is always a blast. I've seen Tim. We've been playing shows together probably a decade. Dude is just off the charts with energy and creativity. And it's just so... he makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it really is that easy for him, but he makes it look that easy. Just absolutely makes it look effortless. He used to do this thing. He hasn't done it in a long time. I might ask him to do it at Sandwich Stock. He used to stand up on his stool and play I think he played the riff from Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
With his toes.
Oh, nice.
In the middle of one of the songs. Trying to remember, I think it was Meet Me There. There's just this part where he would just like, boom, just hit all the keys, and he'd act like he was like falling behind the keyboard.
Nice.
And then from under the keyboard, he'd start kind of tapping it out. Slowly stand up on his stool and start playing with his toes. It was like really hilarious.
Nice.
Never forget that. And then after that, we have Dana Koch. Dana, incredible. I met Dana at your CD release.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We met her at a Storytime event.
Yeah.
That she was singing.
She was
accompaniment.
Randomly picked up to sing backups for one of the bands on that bill.
Yeah. These things aren't random when you're that good.
That's not randomly. I just had,
she's incredible.
She's one of those people that I had not seen within the scene. Like,
well, that's,
I,
that's...
I, she came out of left field for me. Now I found out she's like related to Kristen Lagana or something like that. So she's got connections within the scene from that perspective, but she's more Annapolis and down that direction. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she was a surprise. Like, we were pretty captivated by her backup vocals in that particular performance.
We're going to be working with Dead Pens pretty soon. They're working on finishing.
That's her original band,
They're working on finishing up their recording, basically all their scratch recordings, and then we'll figure out what gets replaced and what gets produced out and et cetera. Yeah. But we're really excited about having them, and that was another band that we had at the CD release party. Well, this
will just be her at Sandwich Stop.
Yeah, this is just her, which is great. She's been performing
a lot.
But,
this is the Weatherly report for Weatherly, so we do have to spot the deadpans.
Yeah.
Like Mike Newberry and Kurt Manion strings and Pig Hog Cables and Dan Hout Start Something Showcase and Music Land. And we do have to record this so we can put it at the end of the freaking podcast
one
day.
We're going to do it formally at some point.
This is episode 19.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, I had asked her about the deadpans playing. Mm-hmm. I loved them when they played the EP release. I thought they were great. And she's just like, yeah, there's a conflict, but I'll totally play. If you want me to play, I'm in. And I was
she's
just
been
like,
doing a ton of solo stuff, from what I understand. She's been,
she's great.
She's moved basically to being a full-time musician at this point, from what I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard her talk about it.
Yeah,
I'd have to get rid of
on
my kid.
On the book.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when that opportunity showed itself, absolutely.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. One of the things I try to steer from, and it's not a super concerted effort, but I try to make sure that I have at least enough female performers that this isn't like a big sausage fest.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't accept anyone I didn't think was great.
Right.
I mean, she's in amazing company with Cecilia Grace and the music teachers in Girls Night Out. Like,
I'm really looking
incredible.
Forward to that.
I know. Yeah. It's going to be a huge way to start the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge. And people are going to be coming over from the farmer's market, probably. And the farmer's market ends at 11.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they're going to be kind of trickling out. But if they see a big jazz band setting up, they're going to be like, what the hell is going on over here?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to have...
I want to get in the Moon Balance.
...that presence. Of the ladies. I try to consider that when I'm booking this. I also once in a while kind of delve into different genre. I haven't done enough of that. Maybe I haven't done enough of that in this, but I got a jazz band. We got a rock singer. We're kind of pop players. Tim Kaye's kind of jazzy.
You've had some country stuff up there.
It's true. Shane is a little country.
Mm-hmm. Bradley James at RCD release. He's fairly country.
He's Americana.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
He is Americana. He keeps leaning more country.
Mm.
So,
well, that's fine. After Dana Cook, we have Weatherly.
Those
you guys know enough
bastards.
About them.
Yeah, I know those guys fucking suck.
So after that, because I don't need to talk about the two of you assholes.
No,
you guys
we
know
talk
yourselves.
About ourselves enough.
Yeah, anybody listening to this knows us well enough.
Yeah.
So then we have Lander. This used to be called the Graff Brothers, I believe.
Yep.
And it's kind of how they've mutated to be more of a band. And
I love them.
They've built, I believe they've built more electric energy into this. And they've
they're definitely
gone
leaning
more,
progressive as well.
Which
a little
I'm
more
cool
developmental.
With. Yeah.
Which I'm great. Their trucks, they have this truck series that they do on Facebook.
I
that's
love
amazing.
The truck
it's
series.
Just Matt and Sean, and every once in a while, Tim's in the back. And they're driving down the road. One of them's either got a kazoo with the piano hooked to it, or one's got a mandolin, or he had some funky ass Greek lute in the truck the other day when he was doing it. And they just do a video of them driving down the road and just singing something and playing something in the truck while they're driving. And they're amazing. Some of them are just absolutely fantastic.
Very cool.
So I'm really looking forward to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was funny, too, because they played the showcase when it started as Graff Brothers. And I don't know what happened, per se, but there was, an issue with sound during their set, and I have never forgiven myself for it. And I have not been able to get them back.
Sucks how we hold on to things like that.
And I don't believe, they were upset with me or anything like that, but there was just, I don't know what was going on. There was an issue where the mics were, feeding back, and I had, a terrible night with sound that night, and I was just like, I need to make this up to them somehow, some way. So I'm really hoping that this goes when I talked to them about this, they're like, all right, so what are you thinking? Is this going to be acoustic? And I said, no, I want you to be as loud as you can be. I want you guys to show up, and your three-piece band can be as loud as you want to be.
Do what you do.
Because after you guys are as loud as you're going to be, Think Again is going to go up there, and we're going to debut our electric set.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're not going to play everything.
That's exciting.
But we have, and we've played some of the stuff downtown, but we have not played in Harford County and played around here
as
full band Think Again.
Right.
And I mean, full drum kit, blaring electric guitars. Joe will be Joe, all electric. It's going to be fun. We're going to throw it down. It's going to be fun. And as such, I mean, like, we packed this bill. I've had a cancellation each year. And I was just like, you know what? If this goes over, good. If someone cancels, we'll still have enough time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good plan.
Absolutely.
So,
well, and I think with all the people that you have on this bill, there's none of them that can't adapt. I mean, they're all seasoned people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's going to be a fun show, man. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about, kind of switching subjects, you and I had a lot of discussions about this years ago, back in the circuit days, but about how your approach of really kind of wanting to DIY everything, and this is pre even talking about the stuff with Vagabond and everything else and how you developed that, but you know, you did your own artwork, you print your own CD labels, you know, all that kind of stuff. You've always done all, it's been a pretty good DIY enterprise for you from the beginning, right?
To some degree. I have subbed parts of it out. A lot of it is just, some of it's money based. Some of it is, I don't think I believe in the expense of some things. And maybe that's crazy, but, I did learn a valuable lesson with the Think Again EP that we did, Every Which Way, which I'll get back to in a moment. But, I hope I get back to it. These tangents today are just,
we'll remind you,
a wind of their own. But, so the full circle one was probably the Brainchild EP. I took this whiteboard. I did pre-sales. Instead of doing like this online thing, I literally just went around and at shows. And when I saw family and friends, I had them, hey, do you want to pre-order the EP? It's $5. And people were doing it. And I had them signing this whiteboard. And I built it in to be the background behind the CD. And I designed it. I printed it. I cut it. I had this poster layout in the middle with all the lyrics and all the thank yous. And it's probably the craziest thing I've ever done. And every time it shows up in my time hop on Facebook, because I had all kinds of pictures and it was like hashtag paper cut, hashtag DIY, whatever. And like, you know, it's me with a paper trimmer cutting these things and, you know, designing them and just doing all of that work. I've never owned a disc painter, though. It's one thing I've never owned.
Right.
Always paid for that part of it. And I've kind of transitioned to paying for more of the artwork to be printed, but I do like to kind of have hands in designing my own artwork, which in and of itself is a development of a skill. It's something that I can do better now than I ever could before.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you just grow as an artist the same way you grow as a musician. You grow as a graphic artist, and you learn new tricks and new tools and new ways to do things, and you have better ideas as to how to express yourself graphically speaking. The one thing where I paid dearly, it's one time I will say I was probably being cheap. I was also concerned about a timeline for the release.
Yeah.
We had a show and I wanted to have the EPs. It was actually one of the showcases, I think. So I ordered the CDs and it was like, all right, so it's $40 for them to ship me a crate of 100 CDs.
Yeah.
In like slim jewel cases. And I'm like, hold the phone. $40 to drive from here to Pennsauken? That's a pretty hefty shipping rate.
Yeah.
Most
distributors are like that, though. I've seen that often.
Yeah. So I said, no, fuck that. Me and one of the dudes from the band will just drive up there, and what's on the other side of the river? Pat's cheesesteaks.
Absolutely.
So we did that. the issue was...
This was a cheesesteak-driven decision.
It was, but here's the problem. So Pennsylvania, or Philly specifically, does a very piss-poor job planning for snow.
Mm-hmm.
And we got this lovely amount of slush snow that was supposed to be a flurry that turned into literally 5 inches of snow in the course of our trip. So that, like, I'm going to say, F the man, I'm going to go get my own CDs. The other thing that's cool about it, though, when you go there, if you ever go to Disc Makers, I recommend, it's a really neat place.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. It just smells like dreams
the whole time you're there. You go We're going to send them that quote from you. Yeah.
And you go into the front desk and you check in and they give you your order number. And maybe it's part of their business plan, but they kind of look at you like you're like a big deal. And they're like, oh, hey, are you like here
keep
to...
Keep coming back.
Yeah.
You're important.
And I'm like... pretty sure they're doing this.
It feels nice. It feels real nice.
But it feels really good.
Yeah. Can somebody get me a latte?
So yeah, me and Fred got stuck in the storm from hell. It took us 9 hours round trip to drive from here to basically Philadelphia and back.
Mm. Right.
But I mean, there was probably a 25-30 minute cheesesteak break in there, which was worth it.
Oh, it's always worth it.
All Pats, no Geno's. If you eat Geno's, don't even talk to me right now.
I've had both. I've had better elsewhere, to be honest with you.
That's fair.
No offense to Philly at all, but most people I know that are from Philly say that those aren't the best cheesesteaks in Philly either.
I'm not going to debate that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying if you're going to go to one or the other.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, yeah, it was just always interesting to me. It actually inspired a lot of what I did after talking to you at the circuit, what I did with Screams and Whispers, how we approach some certain things, DIY and what we booked out. And I've used just about every CD manufacturer out there for doing discs. I've Oasis, Disc Makers, God knows, three or four other small companies that I found some really good deals kind of thing and just wheeling and dealing. And some of those turned out really good. Some of those turned out pretty piss poor.
Yeah.
You know, so different experiences, but I've tried a few different ones. The most consistent is always going to be Disc Makers. Yeah. That's just the way it is. Oasis was really consistent for me as well.
I made the mistake of buying a 5 disc burner tower and doing After the End's album all on my own.
Yep.
And that was a nightmare because then I did all the labels with Lightscribe.
Yeah.
But I only had one Lightscribe, so even though I was burning 5 discs at a time...
You still had a bottleneck at the end of that chain.
It still took me like a month and a half to do all the little stupid-ass After the End's logo on the Lightscribe on a black disc.
Well, I remember
that was a nightmare. I will never do that again.
Way back in the day in Florida, I'd literally just print the labels that you didn't stick on the discs.
Mm-hmm. That was the first thing me and him discussed, and it was like, so how are we going to release the album digitally?
I'm not printing discs. The best we will do if we have the right kind of show is do download cards.
I'm still trying to get an actual vinyl, but I have to figure out how to cut 48 seconds off the album, and I can't decide how to do that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
a tough decision.
It's a bear in and of itself. I personally love the artwork. I love the package. I was a CD and cassette kid growing up.
Yeah.
And when I got that CD, I mean, I was like so excited to listen. I didn't even listen to it, though, because I was so excited. I was like, oh, my God, I'm gonna fucking tear this thing open. And there's a book with, and, you know, as a lyricist. And, like, I was an avid writer before I was an avid singer.
Yeah.
And it's like... I want to see how they presented this. And, you know, my favorite bands were like Pearl Jam and like Incubus. And when you look at like Pearl Jam and some of the stuff they did in their booklets and some of the stuff.
It's very
like,
cool.
You see it and you're like, holy, where did this come from? And
Vitalogy and is still one of my favorite CDs
that's
that
exactly
I ever
the
bought.
One that
Opening
I'm thinking
that
about.
Book was just fucking amazing. I remember when I got that.
Yeah.
It just felt like a book. When you opened it, with a thick black cover. It was just beautiful.
And I was definitely that guy, too. My only thing is, I can't justify the expense because I would only be doing it for me at this point.
Yeah.
No, that's why I want a vinyl. That's
there's
it.
There's just not the same appreciation out there in the market for that anymore.
I can debate that with you if you want, but I am just that passionate about it that it's important to me. And creating it myself allows me to do it with less expense is why I did it that route.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
It's probably part of that. But I've only once, and it was a Brainchild EP, the one I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was the biggest one I've done. Maybe that or Ignite. Ignite was the big... I mean, we went all out on Ignite. We had a friend that kind of helped us finish it off, and financially speaking. And we went with the... Was it a 6-panel digipack?
Oh gosh,
and,
yeah.
I mean, that was a beast in and of itself. And when it was done, it was just like, is it really done?
Yeah.
Is it done? Because I mean, and you know, it just a lot of stuff got thrown in at the end there.
Yeah.
Not like musically speaking, but like the way it was just handled, the way we finished the packaging, because it was like, all right, let's get everybody in the room. We're going to fucking hammer this out. It's going to get done.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. And we had some, I don't want to say infighting, but discussion amongst the bandmates and different parts of what artwork was good or not and what parts of the ideas were good or not. And once we had a theme, we kind of ran with it.
Yeah.
And then it was, do we have numbers on the songs in the back or not? And we didn't do that. And it was, you know, I just remember when we went to do this and buy them, we had never even thought about how many CDs we would have.
Yeah.
And we initially thought, all right, well, let's have like 500 because we were playing a lot.
Yeah.
And then Disc Makers had a special where for the same, it was $100 more. We got 1,000 more CDs.
Yeah.
So I still have 4 cases of Ignite in my that are not open. So if anybody wants a copy of Ashes to Embers Ignite, I will sell it to you for a quarter. 1 quarter. Because it's good for almost an hour of musical enjoyment. It is thick enough to be a legitimate coaster. it is... There are... I mean, there's a lot to it, but yeah.
Some badass artwork.
Some badass artwork. Yeah, I think most... I mean, I've still got a ton of Screams and Whispers discs laying around. Not 4 cases, because we were pretty conservative, because we weren't playing that much at that point. But definitely have a lot of leftovers laying around. Mm-hmm. Stickers are the one thing. From every band I have, mm-hmm. I probably have a ream of about 500 stickers left over. Because yep.
mm-hmm.
I always ended up with way more of those than I ever wanted.
Yeah.
Mm.
So,
I think I threw away a box of After the End shirts maybe like 10 years ago.
I still have shirts from Ashes too.
Yeah, the band in Florida, the last show, because I knew I was leaving, the last show that we ever did, and it was on our favorite stage to play in town. Like, we went out the right way. We actually went out opening for a Flicker Stick, who had, the guys that won VH1 Bands on the Run.
Okay.
We got really lucky with them because when they came through town the first time, right after VH1 Bands on the Run, we got to open for them because we were, at that point in time, doing really well in town. And they just, every time they came through, we got to open for them again because the management knew we kind of paired well, essentially. So, yeah, that show, we literally had behind our amps on the stage, just had tubs of all of our merch. And we're just like, at the end of the show, we just pulled it out, opened them up, started throwing shit in the audience. Just dumped it and left.
Need to get a fucking cannon.
Just yeah.
Shoot parts at people.
It wasn't even that. I wasn't even looking. I was just tossing it over my shoulder at that point because it was just, I'm leaving. I'm moving to Maryland. So
yeah.
I'm not going to be back to do this. Mm. So, but, so the thing I want to ask you about your musical trajectory at this point, do you see that you're walking two paths? One on the creator, builder, promotional side of things, and then also
artist.
The actual music artist side? Or do you see them as hand in hand?
I see them kind of as parallel.
Okay.
I don't believe I would stop creator, promoting, yada yada, if I stop performing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that opportunity presented itself already. Which I can get into that story. I definitely think they're linked to some degree. I would say they're separate, but they definitely link. It's like a divided highway with those little crossovers in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I started playing in Through the Wake, right, a lot of that came because I could not play the guitar. I have a serious muscular problem in my right hand. So when you see me playing, a lot
I
of
love
times,
this.
You see
I absolutely
me
love this.
Taping picks
yeah,
on my
he
hand.
Has picks taped to his hands.
Mm.
I have to actually grind down picks to the shape of my finger so that I can play the guitar because my thumb, I'm assuming it's something I've done for my job.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked outside, I've been a surveyor for 14 years or so. You cut line and you're mm-hmm. swinging an axe
yeah.
or a brush hook or a hammer or a maul or whatever. And there's a lot of trauma that goes right there in this
mm-hmm.
muscle right here in between the thumb and the index finger. and I've had the best hand specialists in the country look at this, and they said, yeah, your hand's screwed up. Like, you can do all kinds of physical therapy. Here's all kinds of, you know, exercises you can do, but there's a good chance you're, you know, the muscle there might just be damaged to the point that you can't do this the way you need to. It's not like I can't like hold things or I can't use it for pressure, because I can, but if I'm playing a set for an hour, about 30 minutes in, my hand will start to just lock.
Yeah.
And I kind of started trying to play like thumb picks and tried to figure that out for a while, and that was a mess. And it was really affecting. I'm not a very technical player anyway, but my friend Heather tends to, she referred to me as a strummy once. I think that's a really great way to describe my
style.
That's
a pretty good way to describe me too. So, I mean,
I might have used some variation of that about you.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, strummy. You are a strummy. I said, thank you.
Yeah, I'm more just saying, just do your shit. Don't try. Just do your shit.
So that presented a really interesting situation where I could not play my songs.
Yeah,
couldn't. And it was like, what am I going to do? And, you know, I kind of just stepped back for a moment. We didn't, like, break up, think again. You know, me and Fred were still going to do it when I could. And we'd do showcases. And I'd just play a set that was just a few songs at the end of the showcase. And that kind of created this vacancy for me to have other acts there as well, which is how I was doing it anyway. And
there's that nice little link, a little highway intersecting.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I developed this, I had thought about if I could work it out. My friend Rob Hinkle from band Illy Amy, Rob plays with these like flamenco metal finger picks and they're amazing. But I can't play that way. Like, I need for this to be as though I'm holding the pick. So what I developed is basically, again, taking something he had and kind of running with it. Using electrical tape, and I use a grinder, and I kind of grind down these picks to the shape of the top of my finger, and I'll literally just tape them on. So if I need to stretch my hand while I'm playing, which is all it takes, like, that's the odd part of it.
Yeah, it's just a release, and then you can
Yeah.
again. Yeah.
And it'll happen more frequently throughout a set. I've played sets where I haven't noticed it at all. I've played sets where it's been a nightmare from the first song. And having the pick taped on, it just takes all the problem away. And all of a sudden, is full speed back to, you know, whatever kind of technical precision I ever had. And, you know, dealing with that kind of closed the gap on where I was. And it just happened to be at a very odd time when Through the Wake was kind of in a spiral where we were like, you know what? This is probably a good time to just call it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, kind of works out for me because my hand's all right now. Sucks that that's not around anymore, but it kind of played out that way.
It's funny that you mentioned that with the hand. My stepdad's a drummer, and he actually has the exact same issue that finally at, he's 60-ish, I'm trying to remember exactly, but he had to quit playing. He had to quit playing this past year because it finally got so bad, because it's just right there where the stick lays. Against that muscle, same spot you're talking about. And he had the same thing. He stopped being able to grip. And he said it was just slowly, he thought it was carpal tunnel because there's a lot of CAD design stuff, and he sits at the computer all day as well. But it's just right there. And it's just nerve damage.
That's
It's not allowing the muscle to fire properly.
Exactly.
So, yeah, he's had the exact same issue, and it caused him to quit drumming. But he managed to fight through it for a lot of years before it got to him.
Yeah.
But usually drummer's knees go bad first.
So where's this, where's your highway taking you? What's next for Dan, and what's next for Think Again?
Oh, geez. There's a lot. There's things I can't even say yet. I'm really excited about the next thing that's going to happen in the next couple weeks.
Okay.
I did a really fun collaboration piece.
Very nice.
And I'm going to pretty much just release a music video for that.
Sweet.
So that'll be fun.
We'll make sure that's on the Weatherly page.
Yeah, we'll share that out
when it posts.
For sure.
So that is happening. I haven't told anybody about that much, other than the Think Again guys and the other person I'm doing this with. Mm-hmm. I say person.
Stays anonymous. I like it.
Yeah.
Building the anticipation.
We won't dig. We'll just wait to hear it. Yeah. Be patient.
Oh, no. I'll fucking dig. Sorry. It's okay. But I won't spoil.
Yeah.
There's a trail of it somewhere.
I mean, I will show you this from the music video shoot. I think I can show you this image. Let me make sure. And it'll be great, because if it gets a reaction to you from you,
our listeners will still have no idea. You poor bastards. Yeah. You have to wait.
And what's funny is this is just an image of me in the space I built. And I basically built a set in my garage.
Nice.
And I don't want you to speak to the substance of what you're looking at, but okay, you're going to have a... You're probably going to have a reaction to what you see. Yeah, so when you zoom in, there's really a lot there.
Yeah, there is a lot there.
Yeah. So I literally built whole walls and...
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
We literally made a... I literally made a set out of this... Out of my garage. It was probably the craziest thing I've done for music in a long time. That is the backdrop.
So we're going to leave the listeners with this. That just made me really freaking curious as to what this is going to be.
Yeah.
I'm more curious to how long that fucking took.
Yeah. That's true. What's interesting
glue
is...
Glue or staples? That's all I need to know.
Tape.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to do that with tape, what I did. In amassing these walls that I built to create this set. I don't want to get into the medium too much, because it'll talk more about what's going on, and it's something we're literally just going to drop. So,
cool.
Anyhow, it took several hours to set it up. Yeah. It took about 20 minutes to take it down.
I'm sure.
It's just unique.
Which made you depressed.
Yeah, I was like, seriously?
Yeah.
But, anyway, so that is going on. Think Again is working on our next EP.
Okay.
Probably due out early next year. Kind of TBA release, probably early, maybe a couple months into next year, something like
that. Started recording that yet or still?
Yeah, we're probably more than halfway finished. We have four of the songs basically complete.
Okay.
And the band kind of made a decision we're going to record a couple more.
And where are you doing your recording at? You doing
it yourself? Deep End? Or?
Deep End with Tony.
Yeah. All right.
You've recorded with Tony for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only started recording with Tony in Through the Wake.
We like Tony a lot.
Yeah. That's a new thing.
I mean, I guess that's still kind of when I did, right after, I guess, I met you. So.
Because I did Brainchild EP. I recorded John Grant at Secret Sound.
Okay.
Ashes recorded with John a lot. And Tony and John are partners. When I joined Through the Wake, which... That's another thing that was great about being in that band, was got to know Tony and work with him. I mean, and, you know, right off the bat, you know, break the ice. Tony's like, here's the deal. If you record it with John, I have the same exact mic chain that he does.
Yeah.
It's the same mic.
That's like, the same if preamp. Me and him ever split, you're still going to get the same recording and the same production quality.
Yeah.
Just a little bit better of mastering than if you go with Kyle than me. That's not my thing. But we'll be down at Deep End Studios in the next couple weeks doing an edition of the Weatherly Report.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Tony.
Which is going to be awesome.
Yep.
It's going to be one giant nerd out session that I'm just going to sit in the corner with an unplugged guitar while Kyle and Tony fucking go. It'll probably be the joke. I might not even show up. I don't know.
No. You got to be there to make sure things sound okay.
That's true.
That's going to be, that's definitely going to be a nerd out fest. But a lot of what we've been getting, you know, with Weatherly, we've gotten a lot more into the production side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So talking to probably one of the most established, you know, engineers and producers in this market.
He's up there. He's getting there.
You know, something we'd be very interested in. You know, there's little things I want to talk to him, you know, the Grinnelli audio thing that he does with the mics.
He does that with John Grant.
Yeah.
Partners.
He and I have had a couple conversations fucking about genius. That over the years.
I've mentioned that maybe 10 times on this freaking podcast.
It's just one of those things you look at
it's
and
just
you're
fucking
like,
genius.
Fucking of course.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Why not? Let's bend an SM-57.
Yeah. Exactly. But, brilliant. Yeah, well, man, listen, we really appreciate you, number one, having us over.
Just couldn't thank you guys enough for making the trip.
Oh, dude.
Well, it took 8 minutes to get here. And the thing is that I went to his house first, and then we came here because I'm directly in between you and him.
Yeah.
So I'm 4 minutes away. He's 8 minutes away.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so. I know we're close.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, dude, this will not be the last time you're on the podcast. Anytime you have something you want to promote.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, we definitely want to get all of you guys from Think Again on.
Yeah, that would be great.
And one of the things that we're also going to look at start doing, and I probably haven't discussed this with you that much, but we're going to do it anyway.
Doesn't matter.
One of the things I've started noticing with a couple of other podcasts is there's times where they'll have people on just to spot something that they want to promote for like a 10-minute segment.
Fuck you, that was my idea.
No, it's not. It's a Mark Maron idea.
Whatever.
But anyway.
I didn't have to tell you who I stole it from.
I'll tell you. I'm not afraid.
God love
but yeah,
that
we're
bastard.
Gonna start doing some of that stuff too. So even if you don't have time for a long format, if you want to Skype in just a promo for something you guys are doing, let us know.
Maybe after that video drops, I'll hit you guys up to.
Oh, absolutely,
and we'll push that online as well, no matter what.
I'm gonna have to get rid of the delay in mine and Kyle's voice from the yes, the rights, the absolutelys.
Yeah,
we gotta stop doing podcasts together.
Nope,
fucking ridiculous.
We don't. It's just gonna keep happening.
So
you guys are so sweet.
We are really excited for.
For
next Saturday, October 13th, Sandwich Stock from 12 to 7.
Vagabond Sandwich Company in Bel Air, right off of Thomas Street.
Delicious food. God, the freaking grilled cheese crab.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing on the menu.
Actually,
love it.
And I like when it all oozes out.
Nashville
and
hot chicken sandwich thing is
my
really
freaking French
freaking
fries
good.
In it.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's
I
delicious.
Love their food. Absolutely love their food. Moon Bounce. Ton of vendors. And we were going to talk about this beforehand, but we might as well just talk about it right now. We want to record a podcast during the day at some point.
Yeah.
And just set up somewhere off to the side in between some vendors. So any
things
that you want us to do where we want to catch somebody coming off the set and have them sit down and just talk about it for a little bit. But we're only going to set up once and just do like a little quick, like 30-minute, 45-minute podcast to
talk to a couple
to release.
Performers
so
and whoever's down to do it, we'll not.
And any
be off the
specific
side.
People from Band Together, we want to get them over.
They're actually going to have a table there.
Okay, perfect.
Oh,
then we'll just set up near their table.
Yeah,
that'll be great.
We can actually make that easy. We don't need a setup. We can just do that as an iPhone thing at their table. Come over and talk to them. So that way,
fun.
It's not disruptive.
I'll be sure to introduce you guys.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I mean,
wonderful.
We definitely.
And you know anything that we can do to help. That's why, I mean, we're both, we try and do as much charity stuff and keep the focus on the music. I mean, right now we don't make any money with what we do. We just got done recording artists and engineering and producing for artists that we haven't made a cent on, but they're good artists and they're young artists and we want their music out there.
Well, and they're helping us build our portfolio at the same time. It's mutually beneficial.
Yeah, very much so.
But, yeah.
But we spot the showcase, it'll be recorded in our little tag and Band Together, as well as Kurt Manion Strings, Peg Hall Cables, Musicland, and everybody else.
And we're going to do a collab soon.
I've been waiting for you guys to hit me up about this.
Well, it's going to happen because Chris and I have been brainstorming what those are going to look like, those collabs, and how
we've
we're
also been brainstorming on what the next album's going to be like, and it's not me watching Sister Hazel and Collective Soul DVDs, it's that motherfucker watching videos.
That's going to happen too.
So we are going to be start a little bit.
We're
going to start putting out some,
we're just pushing
some heavier music.
Yeah, we're starting to just branch out, you know?
Yeah,
it's all still going to be stuff we can do acoustically when we need to, but we want to get really diverse with stuff, you know. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Where there's probably not a pot we're going to stick our foot in,
right?
I mean, we're going to get into everything. So,
which all the collabs will help.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Exactly. So,
so
we appreciate you having us over, man. We're going to break down and get out of your house so you can rest. I'm sure.
Right. Well, thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
All right,
Sandwich Stock, be there.
Peace.